197. Okay, so today is the divine and most holy, auspicious, glorious, super glorious, maha super glorious, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day of the disappearance of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is one of the most advanced personalities ever to appear on this earth. We'll get a little insight of his glories. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Okay, so Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. So here's the verse. Aidina dayadranata hai vaturnata kadavalo yase ridayam tat aloka kantaram dayate brahmyate kim karomi aham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what should I do now? This verse is actually recited by Srimati Radharani. This is the ecstasy of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Who is Madhavendra Puri? He appeared in our Sampradaya just after the appearance of Lakshmipati Tirtha. Madhavendra Puri is the Param Guru, or Supreme Spiritual Master, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His spiritual master is Ishwara Puri, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was instrumental in bringing in Madhurya Ras into the Sampradaya. Before then, it wasn't introduced. In other words, Radharani's bhakti became prominent, and that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this Sampradaya, because of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri in the spiritual world is a Kalpa Vriksha tree. There's not too many people who have that identity, but here is one personality. And I'll narrate one story, which is actually part of this particular chapter of the life of Madhavendra Puri, to give you a little indication of just how glorious this personality is. Madhavendra Puri lived in Vrindavan as a young man, and he had taken shelter of Vrindavan. One day he was fasting completely, and at one point in the later part of the day, one little boy, about this guy, size, yeah, probably the same size, he was carrying a pot of milk, and he said, "Hey, Babaji, this is Vrindavan. Nobody fasts here. Here, take some dud. Have some dud." You know what dud is? Milk. Dahi is yogurt, and dud is milk. Have some milk. So Madhavendra was charmed by this beautiful boy, took the milk, and then he said, "How did you know I was fasting?" boy said, oh, the ladies who come to draw water from the well, they saw you and they could understood. And they told me, so I came to bring you some milk here. So he was enchanted. He drank the milk. And the boy said, actually, it's time for me to milk the cows. I have to leave. So he left. Mother Bindrapuri later on took rest. And in the dream, that same boy appeared to him, but in a different way. He said, I'm buried here in this area of Vrindavan. I've been here for many, many hundreds of years. Actually, because my pujari, he was being chased by the Muslims. In order to protect me, he buried me in the ground. But I'm very cold, and I'm dirty. And in the summertime, I become very hot. So, please rescue me. And I can see, I've been waiting for you to come because you are the fit person to offer me worship. So Madhavendrapuri took signs, and then he understood where the area was by the indication of the dream. And so he called some men. They came with shovels and various types of digging instruments, and they started to dig, and they found this big, huge deity of Krishna, beautiful. But he was all wet, covered with dirt. So they took him and made a little throne on the top of a little mountain and installed him there. And then Madhavendrapuri, every day, actually the first day, he just washed him and cleaned him so nicely. Got all the dirt off and all his beautiful transcendental features were being seen by everyone. And then he polished the deity to make him shiny. And then people came and saw, oh, look at this. Krishna has appeared in such a wonderful way by the grace of this great sadhu. So they all came and they started bringing offerings of bhoga and various kinds of vegetables, fruits, and chapati flour, and so many nice things, rice, dal, everything. And every day people were bringing, so he was cooking everything and offering it to Gopal. The deity's name was Gopal. He said, my name is Gopal in the dream, he told him. And so, yeah, this went on for a whole month, and the news spread far and wide. Oh, this Krishna has appeared in such a wonderful way, and he's being worshipped. Let's go see him. Let's bring some nice foodstuffs. Because it says, when you go to see the deity, you should always bring a gift. That is the etiquette. If you live in the temple, that's your presence is the gift. But if you're coming from outside, every time you visit the temple, you should bring something for the deity. That is the etiquette. A little flower, or maybe 1,000 rupees, or 1,000 euros, or something. No, not so much. 999, not so much. Anyway, bring something. And so people were bringing all kinds of stuff, and every day there was a festival. So many nice bhoga was being cooked and distributed. And then the news spread even farther to the other villages, and people were coming. This went on for a long time, so months. And the worship was going on, and then Madhavendrapuri found the best Brahmins in the area and had him do the puja, and they were worshipping Gopal so nicely every day, regular offerings. And this went on for many, many months. Finally, one night, again, he had a dream. And Krishna appeared to him again in a dream, just to see how glorious this person is. And said to him, it's summertime and I'm really hot, so bring me some sandalwood pulp to rub on my body and make me cool. Because Krishna's a cool guy, right? He wants to be cool. So, and Madhavendrapuri thought, oh, sandalwood, but that's so far away. The closest place is near Jagannath Puri, and here we are in Vrindavan. That's a long way. But then he thought, Gopal wants it, so I must go. So he left and left all the Brahmins in charge of the worship, instructed him how to take care of Gopal, and he left. And there's no Rajdhani Express or the local bus. You have to walk or you take bullock cart, a long way. So he was going in that area. Finally, he came across one area, which is an area of Orissa. And there was one temple called Gopinath Temple, Tinray Muna. So he stopped there to rest. And he saw there was a beautiful deity of Gopinath, and he was being worshipped very nicely. So Madhavendra Puri said to the Pujaris, "What do you offer for Boga to the deities?" They said, "Oh, this is very special. We have a special kheer, sweet rice, that is more nectar than the ambrosial drunk by the demigods. So sweet and so unique. So this is what we offer every evening to him." And it was time for the offering. So the offering was being brought. And then Madhavendra Puri was thinking, "Boy, I would really like to taste that so I can get an idea how to make it for my deity, Gopal." But then he thought, "Uh-oh, this is not good. I'm thinking of tasting it before the deity has taken it." So he felt very bad. He was just thinking for the benefit of the deity, but then he thought, "This is not right." So he left the temple very quietly and went into the village, sat down and started to chant. Soon the offering was over, and the pujari came, collected the pots of sweet rice, and put the deity to rest and went to sleep that night. So just after he went to sleep, the deity appeared to him in a dream, Gopinath, and said, "Mr. Pujari, you know, that devotee who came, he's a great devotee, and he would like to taste this sweet rice. So I hid one pot. You didn't see it. I hid it behind my dhoti. So come and get it and bring it to Madhavendra Puri. He's in the village." Pujari woke up. "Wow, the deity is talking to me, telling me what to do." So he got up, took his bath, went into the deity room, and there he found, hidden behind the deity's dhoti, there was a pot. They're not too big. They're like this size, if you've ever been there. You been? Yeah. Chir Gobi, you been there? Did you get some of the kheer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like celestial. And so he took the pot, and then it was in the evening time, so he went into the village looking for Madhavendra Puri, and he's saying, "Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath has stolen the sweet rice for you. Come, Madhavendra Puri." Madhavendra Puri heard his name call, so he went. And Pujari, he was also a great devotee. The fact that the deity appeared to him in the dream shows how great he was. And so they saw each other, and both of them, their ecstatic love for Krishna, awakened just by seeing each other, because both of them had great love for Krishna. So they started to exhibit happiness and ecstasy meeting. And then the Pujari said, "Here is the sweet rice. Gopinath wants you to have it." So he took it, and then he tasted it, and he ate the whole pot. Then he smashed the pot into pieces. And then every day he would eat a piece of the pot, because the pot was also part of the offering. It was offered on the altar in these clay pots. So he was eating that. And then people found out, "Oh, this person has become very popular." So what happens? People were coming around, let us meet this Madhavendra Puri. So all the villagers started to come. And he was getting a lot of attention, and he was thinking, "This is not good. I'm getting too much attention." Because the devotee doesn't really want to attract people's attention. So he thought, you know, this is not. So he decided to go on his way to Jagannath Puri, and he left. Finally he made it to Jagannath Puri, and then he had to commission sandalwood. Now sandalwood was under the care of government restrictions. You had to get permission to get sandalwood. He couldn't just get it anywhere or buy it. Only the government can authorize you to have some sandalwood. In some places, it's still like that today. And so he met the king of Puri. The king of Puri was very pleased with his request and gave him the papers and authorized to him for getting 80 kilograms of sandalwood and 9 ounces of camphor, the best camphor. So he took that, and then the king arranged for some men and a bullock cart, guards, to go along with Madhavendrapurya on his trip back to Vrindavan. And he also gave him papers where he would not have to be taxed by the different immigration posts like that. So he went. And so when he was traveling, again he came past Raimuna, where he had passed before. This story is told by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. What I'm narrating is being told by Mahaprabhu because he wanted to glorify Madhavendrapuri. So he's telling this story. It's mentioned in this pastime. And then, again, he fell asleep when he was there in Jagannathpuri. And again, this time, his deity Gopal appeared to him in the dream and said, "My dear Madhavendrapuri, you are working so hard just to get me this nice sandalwood. But you should understand that myself and Gopinath, we are the same. So you take the sandalwood and use it on Gopinath. And if you do, I will be cool." Because Krishna appears in different forms, but it's the same Krishna. And so he heard that instruction, so he decided to stay there. And then, along with the pujaris, he told the pujaris were so happy, they had so much, you know, rare sandalwood for their deity, so they all started to grind it up and make paste out of it, and every day they would put it all over Gopinath. And then, of course, Madhavendrapuri stayed there for a long time, and so he worshipped Gopinath. And that Gopinath now, after that incident, that Gopinath had a new name. He was called Gopinath, now he was called Kheer Khor Gopinath. Kheer means sweet rice, and Khor means thief. So the Gopinath who is this thief that steals the sweet rice, like that. So Krishna's a thief. You know, he's a thief. You know what he'll want? He'll steal your heart and you'll not get it back. You're going to have to capture that thief and punish him for that. If he takes your heart, that's it. You don't know what to do now. So yeah, he's like that. He steals your heart. So yeah, and then he came back to Jagannath, and then he came back to Puri. No, he came back to Vrindavan, and he continued with the worship of Gopal, like that. And that deity is the Nanathji deity. He's in, what is that place? Where's Nathji at? Gujarat, yeah, but what is the name of that place? No, Rumi Moon is in Orissa. Oh, it's in Gujarat, Yeah, it's the name of a place in Gujarat where he's being worshipped today. Instead, the deity is still there. Not Jaipur. Nathpur or something, I don't know. His name is Nathji now, of course. So that deity is very famous. And Madhavendrapuri, that was a very beautiful incident in the life of Madhavendrapuri. Where the Lord appeared to him in a dream 4 different times. Wow. Giving him instructions on how to serve. Isn't that amazing? So he's not a small personality. Towards the end of his life, Madhavendrapuri, he had so many powerful personalities who was disciples. Lord Keshava Bharati was his disciple. Rangapuri was his disciple. Sri Advaita Acharya took initiation from Madhavendrapuri. And there's even talk that even Lord Nityananda is a disciple of Madhavendrapuri. But some say he's a disciple, others say they were good friends. Because there was one, when Lord Nityananda was traveling around everywhere, he happened to see Madhavendrapuri and he said, "Who is that personality?" And Lord Nityananda started to shed tears in love of God. He was so happy. He ran over to him. He said, "I've been traveling to all holy places, now I found the best of all holy places, your lotus feet. And then they exchanged loving embrace, and Madhavendra Puri embraced Lord Nityananda so long that Lord Nityananda couldn't get out of the loving embrace of Lord Nityananda. So, and then of course, Lord Nityananda always saw Madhavendra Puri as his guru. Madhavendra Puri saw Lord Nityananda as his close friend. So, yeah, this is how exalted this person, Madhavendra Puri, is. So you can hear by this verse, this verse that we were reading tonight, this is Radharani's heart. And no one knows the meaning of this verse. Only three people know the meaning of this. Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, and Madhavendra Puri. It says, no fourth person is capable of understanding this verse. It looks like you can understand it, but you can't. You might think you can understand it, but that's all you can do is think. That's it. It's very deep in Radharani's bhakti. And so, towards the end of his life, Madhavendra Puri was reciting this verse over again, and he was in ecstasy of love of God. And he would be crying and shedding tears. And then he had one disciple whose name was Ramachandra Puri. Now, Ramachandra Puri was not so advanced. So when he saw his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, going into these ecstasies, he started to instruct him, and he said, Guru Maharaj, be peaceful. Just meditate on the Brahman effulgence and be peaceful. Oh my God. Madhavendra Puri got so angry. He said, get out of here. If I see your face before I die, then I'll take a low birth in some place. Get out of here. I don't ever want to see you again. He threw him out. Yeah. He was instructing his spiritual master, who was in ecstasy of love of God and separation, telling him to meditate on Brahman. Oh. And then he left, and all his material desires returned. And then he became a critic of the devotees, and he became a critic of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He found fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always accept the offerings of his devotees when they cooked it. So when Ramachandra Puri, he said, oh, you're a sannyasi and you eat so much. So Lord Chaitanya because Ramachandra Puri was the godbrother of his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, so he was thinking, well, the godbrother of my spiritual master should be respected on the same level as my spiritual master. That is the etiquette. And so the Lord accepted his criticism, and he cut his eating in half. And then Ramachandra Puri said, he went to his house and he saw, look at this, all ants all over the floor. This sannyasi, he secretly gets up in the middle of the night and eats sweets. And that's why there's all these ants everywhere. Yeah, I know for sure. And Prabhupada tells the story, he says, in India there's ants everywhere. But Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything, but the devotees were really upset. Because Madhavendra Puri, sometimes he would come when the devotees were about to take prasadam, and he would take the serving bucket and he would serve the devotees. So you could write this down. he would say, here, take more. This is prasadam, it's nice, eat more. And then the devotees, just to make him happy, they would eat more. And then he would say, just see, it's true, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they eat so much. So he would force them to eat, and then he would criticize them for eating too much. So the devotees weren't happy. And they didn't know what to do, so I guess they were praying to Krishna, and finally Krishna arranged for him to leave, and he'd never come back. and the devotees were happy again. Not because they were being criticized, but because Lord Chaitanya, they couldn't offer, you know, what they were offering to Lord Chaitanya. They couldn't serve him nicely, and Lord Chaitanya wasn't going to eat because he got criticized. So now the devotees were happy again. Now there was another disciple of Madhavendra Puri called Ishwara Puri. Now Madhavendra Puri, in his old age, he was like an invalid. He could not take care of his personal needs. So Ishwara Puri would very carefully clean up after his spiritual master and take care and do everything needed to serve his spiritual master very nicely. And Madhavendra Puri was so grateful for that he blessed him with his complete blessings, and that Ishwara Puri became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the blessings of the spiritual master. One who receives the blessings of the spiritual master, then the path of devotional service is wide open. In Kali Yuga, we don't really understand this principle, but the spiritual master is the full representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore by carefully, sincerely, and enthusiastically following those instructions, then one, it's very easy to go back home, back to Godhead. There's no problem. That's the key to devotional. Sometimes you say, well, where's that key? There it is, right there. Learn those instructions. If you get personal instructions from your spiritual master specifically, consider yourself very fortunate. In our ISKCON society, many devotees got personal instructions from Prabhupada. Many didn't get instructions from Prabhupada. But in the case that those didn't, they would have to follow the general instructions that Prabhupada made available to everyone through his books and through his lectures, like that. So that is the key to Krishna consciousness. If you have any doubt in your spiritual master, that will block your advancement in Krishna. And it may also cause you to fall down in spiritual life. So therefore Prabhupada said, don't take a spiritual master unless you are 100% ready to follow completely. And therefore he said you should test your spiritual master for at least 1 year to make sure that this is the person you want to give your life to. And then when you are sure, and the spiritual master is also supposed to test his aspiring disciple to see if he's qualified, and then that is called mutual examination. And after 1 year or more in some cases, when everything is understood, then one can take initiation. But if there's the slightest doubt, that doubt should be cleared before one moves into that area. Because once you take initiation, and if you don't follow your spiritual master, then you don't make any advancement. So, because the spiritual master is the transparent via media to Krishna, like that. So one has to be very enthusiastic to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So it's not like going shopping for a new pair of shoes or a pair of Wrangler jeans or something like that. It's about, you know, your whole life. You should very carefully seek out dissociation and shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and for at least 1 year hear from that person and very much understand whether this person is the person you want to surrender your life to. And if you become an obedient disciple, following everything carefully and also using your intelligence how to serve more and more, then you're fixed in devotional service. Because only by the Kripa Shakti can we be successful. Jnana Shakti is not enough. You need Kripa Shakti. You need both. Kripa Shakti comes from the spiritual master. Yeah, so this is the process like that. So Madhavendra Puri showed the world through these two disciples that one who criticizes, offends, or gets the cause the spiritual master to reject them, then their life is lost in spiritual life. And one who follows very carefully, like Ishvara Puri, and then there's no limit to how much mercy one can receive on the way back home, back to Godhead. This is very important. And if you want the full blessings of your spiritual master, then do, as Prabhupada said, do what I am doing. Now, when we heard that, Prabhupada said to do this, do what I am doing. How can we do what you do? That is impossible. Impossible. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. But what Prabhupada was saying is, I am preaching, you preach too. So there's the extra mercy, the extra kripa, preach Krishna consciousness. And you will always be in the best position. Okay, so this is the life of Madhavendra Puri. Ayi dina dayadradnata hai maturnata kadava lokyase ridayam taraloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karomi aham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Radharani's bhakti, glorified by Madhavendra Puri. And he was the one who introduced Radharani into the Sampradaya. Okay, so this is a little bit about the life of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took shelter of Madhavendra Puri's disciple Ishvara Puri. And he did that because Madhavendra Puri was in the line of Srimati Radharani. Okay. Hey, don't walk so loud. Be quiet. Yes. Okay. So, Rishabhji, we'll ask a question, and I will try to give an answer.
Yeah, I have two questions and one.
Two questions.
In my vague memory, I can recall that I've read somewhere that prior to Madhavendra Puri, Vaishnavas would worship Krishna without Srimati Radharani, and that he was the one who established worshiping Srimati Radharani alongside with Krishna.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So why did they worship Krishna without Srimati Radharani?
Because Radha Bhakti wasn't known so much at that time. It's only when Lord Chaitanya appeared that he introduced that mood of Radha Bhakti. But it came from Madhavendra Puri. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Why? The question is why? I think there was not enough understanding of Radharani's position up until Madhavendra Puri revealed all that. Yeah, he revealed who Radharani was and what is her position in relationship to Krishna. Because another name for Radharani is Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. She's the source of all the Lakshmis. So sometimes she was seen as one of the many Lakshmis or gopis. But she's not just one of the gopis. She's the best of all the gopis. Her position is impossible. There's two things you'll never understand in Krishna consciousness, no matter who you are, what you are, even if you're the greatest spiritual scholar in the world, two things you will never understand. Radharani's bhakti and Krishna's qualities. These two things you can never understand. What are the qualities of Krishna and what is Radharani's love for Krishna? These two things are not measurable by anybody. So that's one of the Radharani remained a mystery until it was revealed by Madhavendra Puri.
Thank you. And the second question is that you mentioned that one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri was Keshava Bharati. Was that right?
Yeah, who became the spiritual master, the sannyas guru.
But he was Ekadandi. He was a monistic philosopher, wasn't he?
That's what it says. I have it written in one. I was reading it today in one book. It says they had a whole listing of all his disciples. The word Keshava Bharati was there. Now, I don't know if it's the same Keshava Bharati. Maybe it's a different one. Yeah. Could be.
And finally, I have a comment. I read in Back to Godhead magazine that Kirchhoda Gopinath was carved by Ramachandra himself with the arrowhead. Yeah,
that's... Actually, I found the book. When I went to Ramuna Temple, I was there. I found this little book that was put out by the temple. And I bought it, and then I started reading it, and that pastime was in there. And it says that it's a shila. It was a black stone. And he started carving it. And then he carved. And then Sita Devi came over and said, "What are you doing?" Said, "I'm carving the form of my next incarnation." And then he showed her, and she was amazed to see it. So that carving, because Gopinath is part of a shila, it's a big black stone, and he's carved into the stone like that. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing it up. Not too many people know that. I didn't find it anywhere in our literature. I found it in that little book when I was in Ramuna.
So he's pretty old, actually, from Treta Yuga.
Yeah. Because Ramachandra appeared 2 million years ago. 2 million, yeah, that's the actual time period. But when the worship began, we don't really know. That's another thing. But the carving was done by Ramchandra himself with an arrow, yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the interesting lecture. When you were talking about how one should not accept a guru if he has even the slightest doubt about him, it got me wondering what can somebody or what can a devotee do if he is in a position where he wants to accept a spiritual master, but has sought one for many years, and perhaps even because of his own lackings, he cannot find someone which he would perceive as faultless.
Well, if there's any doubt, you just ask questions. Get your questions. If there's whatever doubt you have, present it either to the spiritual master or someone who is very close to the spiritual master. Because that doubt can grow into something very big, which can cause one to, you know, fall down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so that's why that mutual testing period of 1 year is there to clear all the doubts. That's what it's about. Yeah. So we have to ask questions. Just like, you know, sometimes people take shelter of a particular spiritual master, and then they want another spiritual master. So they're thinking, well, I already committed myself to this spiritual master. Maybe I should stay with them. But then they're more inclined to the other spiritual master. So they think, well, since I'm already with this spiritual master, I should take that one. But then again, that's not really, their commitment won't be complete. I was just listening to Prabhupada today. It's amazing. He was giving a pre-initiation lecture. Oh, was that heavy. Whoa. He was saying, don't take a spiritual master if you're not willing to follow. Don't make a farce out of this. This is very serious. And then he explained how to get rid of all your doubts.
But how come then Srila Prabhupada, when I was reading the Lilamrita, in the early years he accepted a lot of students, even those who weren't serious. So why?
Yeah, but don't try to imitate Prabhupada, because what Prabhupada was doing is, Prabhupada had three heart attacks. The third one was in 1967, just after he began his movement. He knew that he didn't have much time. He was trying to build his movement fast, and he took some risks. And just like giving sannyas to a lot of people who weren't qualified for sannyas, he gave. Because he needed preachers, so he said, well, you're not up to the standard, but if you stay very strict in following the four regulative principles and chanting your rounds, then you can stay fixed. So Prabhupada took a chance, and there's no question about it, but now we don't need to worry about that anymore. That threat is, so Prabhupada knew if he left, the movement would be nothing. So Prabhupada prayed, my dear Lord, I just began my movement, I'm not, you know, please give me more time. And then he told me, he said, Krishna gave me 10 more years. And during that time, he really built his movement up. But he did take a chance, accepting disciples and giving sannyas. He did take a little risk.
Okay, thank you for explaining, Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I have strange situation about instruction I got from Guru, so I don't know how to understand. So I was reading Guru Tattva from Guru Govinda Swami, and so I was so much inspired because he was explaining that getting instruction from Guru is life and soul for someone, so it's topmost you can get. And then I was so much inspired and said, Guru Maharaj, please, give me something, whatever.
And then you said, then after a while you wanted to withdraw your request. Huh?
Then it was a chorus. And then I said, okay, I will think about it. I really want it. And I was willing. I was not attached. So I said, if not now time, when is the time? And he said, okay, I will think it. And then after a couple of days, he said, I got an idea. And there was one project one of his disciples is running. He said, maybe you can connect with him. And he actually connected two of us. And then we met a couple of times, and we really get along nicely. Energy flows. But there was no next steps into the project. And I cannot do nothing because he's running. So I don't have a clue, an idea what to do. Really?
Because you tried.
Huh?
You tried.
By myself.
Hmm?
Now, we started, we were communicated, we had about two meetings, and I was waiting from his input, so, because this field is completely new for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you tried your best. I guess the thing was to refer back to the spiritual master and say, this is the problem.
Yes, and I did that, and then he said, okay, maybe you can contact him from time to time and then see. And even then, nothing happened. And then finally, Guru Maharaj started to work more, helping him with that part. He said, oh, now you can help me, not him anymore. And then I was waiting, and in between, I started distributing books more and more. And they said, Guru Maharaj, now in between, I'm doing that. And he seems happy. So
success.
So how, I got instruction, but this instruction at the moment looks like...
The point is, it led to something better.
Yeah, for me, I'm missing.
Yeah, that's the point. You can't see sometimes where it's going to go. But it went to a point where actually you were able to get into a service that you can really get into. It's a success.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can, yeah. It was good. Everything worked out perfectly. Okay, so Sri Madhavendra Puri Ki Jai.